morning. The 5 a.m. news with Kelly Eben. In the headlines, the presidential couple Paul and Chantal Biya are in the Chinese capital, Beijing, ahead of the 9th Forum on China-Africa Cooperation, which gets underway this Wednesday, September 4th, 2024. In foreign news, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has asked forgiveness to the citizenry over hostages' deaths as protests continue in the country. In sports, Cameroon's Indomitable Lions begin their first training session today at the Amadou Ahidjo Stadium in preparation of two 2025 Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers, that is against Namibia and Zimbabwe. Those were our headlines, and now the news in full. At the invitation of the Chinese President Xi Jinping, President Paul Biya has left Cameroon to attend the 9th Forum on China-Africa Cooperation. Ahead of the start of the forum on September the 4th, see out of his special envoy to Beijing, Ashu Nyanti looks at the stakes of the forum and how ready Beijing is to host the delegations.
The city of Beijing is wearing its finest robes and has rolled out a red carpet and talking drums to welcome 54 African delegations to this year's Forum on China-Africa Cooperation. Beijing, the heartbeat of China, has over the years resolutely transformed into a modern city, but which still maintains its traditional attractions that modernity has not succeeded in eroding. This forum has become a must rendezvous in international geopolitics and geostrategy every 3 years. The event will run from September 4 to 6. Visible signs of the gathering are present everywhere in Beijing, right from the capital international airport. Flags of African countries float proudly along both sides of the sprawling avenues. Even in the Beijing market, the perfume of an African presence is massive. The 9th Forum on China-Africa Cooperation comes at a time when African economies are still distressed from the instability caused by the COVID-19 pandemic and an increase in African debt burden that has become worrisome. At the Cameroonian embassy, small dishes have been put into the big to ensure a remarkable and honorable participation of Cameroon. President Paul Biya, in his increasingly first status of wise man of Africa, is expected to be one of the star participants at the forum. It will be Paul Biya's 7th visit to China over his presidency, the last one being during an earlier forum in September 2018. Cameroon will, as always, be looking forward to making breakthroughs at the bilateral level, but the overall strategy will be to ensure that Africa plays as a bloc. This year, African countries are determined to change the narrative, not to allow the gathering to be shaped by a donor-recipient dynamic where China is in the driver's seat and African countries mostly come cap in hand. But have African countries attained that confidence and capability level? That is a question. Ashu Nyenti Vensambolo on assignment, Beijing, China.
And back in the country, the Vatican has called for all children in Cameroon to be allowed to go to school peacefully, especially in the northwest and southwest regions. The message of the Vatican for the 2024-2025 school year was delivered by the Apostolic Nuncio to Cameroon and Equatorial Guinea, Monsignor José Avelino Bendecott, who says all schools should be open and Cameroonians should reject violence and conflicts so students can study in a serene environment. Charles Ebune reports.
August 30 this year, the United States Ambassador to Cameroon, Christopher John Lamora, sits for an exclusive interview with CRTV. Amongst his dislikes, the prevention of children from going to school in the northwest and southwest regions. I am profoundly saddened that the children of the two regions, the northwest and southwest, have lost years without schooling since the start of the crisis in 2016-2017. There is no reason to justify the fact that children are not schooling. and we have been clear on this. The dislikes of the United States ambassador to Cameroon are shared by the British High Commissioner to Cameroon, Barry Lowen, who sees the movement as an affront to the fundamental right of children to be educated.
Let me reiterate, I think, two things. One, the importance of education for every child.
Ever since the crisis erupted in the terrorism-hit areas of Cameroon, the diplomatic family in and out of the country has never backed the school blockade ecosystem in the country. Nadine Perrault is the representative of the United Nations Children's Fund in Cameroon.
UNICEF is all about ensuring that the rights of the child are realized and supporting government in identifying the best intervention to ensure that this is achieved.
This year, everyone is unanimous. A decade without school for children is a terrible, expensive generation cost to all.
Charles Ibune reporting. Measures are underway to assist the population of Yagua in the Mayo Dani division of the Far North region who were victims of floods over the weekend. Local administrative and municipal authorities are seeking to provide material and humanitarian support to the over 20,000 people who lost their homes and property following the floods caused by heavy rains. Faith Ngwang tells us more.
The town of Yagua grapples with severe flooding, leaving half of the community paralyzed. The Lomo Dole market and part of the central market are submerged due to the Danai River bursting its banks. In the Danaira neighborhood, residents living near the river have been forced to evacuate. The Jibetsu, Gobeisu, and Leke neighborhoods are similarly affected, with many homes abandoned.
The roads are flooded, and we don't know where to go.
Everything we own is in water. We are trying to carry some. The residents of the Lamido of Yagua, located perilously close to the flooded market, is also under threat. The material damage is extensive. Swaibu Zurba is the subdivisional officer for Yagua.
We have mounted temporary tents with the help of volunteers from the Red Cross. So far, we have counted about 20,653 people who were surprised by the waters. Unusual, it is the River Logun that empties its banks in the River Danai. This time, it was the opposite.
Even the large villages of Vada and Tuku have not escaped the disaster. Although no human casualties have been reported, the situation remains dire. Residents have been stacking sandbags to create makeshift barriers in an effort to protect their homes. Yagua, Faith Ngwang, CRTV.
You're listening to the 5 a.m. news on the national station of the CRTV. The written phase of the entrance examination into the Advanced School of Mass Communication, ASMAC, kicks off this morning on the campus of the institution. About 800 candidates will write the examination on the ASMAC campus under the supervision of the director of the school, Professor Francois Mac Mojom. He has confirmed to CRTV reporters that the examination halls are ready to host the candidates, while invigilators have been mobilized to supervise them. Out of Cameroon, Benjamin Netanyahu has asked for forgiveness from Israelis for failing to return six hostages found dead in Gaza on Saturday, as Hamas warned more could be returned to their families in Shrutz if a ceasefire is not reached. His comments came as intense street protest over his handling of negotiations entered a second night in Israel. In sports, players and staff of the men's national football team of Cameroon will hold their first training session at 4 p.m. today at the annex one of the Amadou Ahidjo Stadium in Yaoundé, ahead of 2025 Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers against Namibia and Zimbabwe. The 24 players called by the head coach of the flagship team, Mark Brice, for those two confrontations began arriving in camp last evening. Cameroon will host Namibia the Saturday, the 7th of September, before traveling to face Zimbabwe in Kampala, Uganda, on September the 10th, 2024. That footnote in sports brings us to the end of the 5 a.m. news. My name is Kelly Eben, thanking you for listening. I will be back with more news at 6:30 a.m. Good morning.